sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, if you hold on, what's your name first, sir?
James Turner.
Okay, well, just hold on for a moment. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is going to conduct your hearing at this time, so just hold on to the phone, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Could you just state your full name and your ABC number for us for the record?
James David Taylor, 84981.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I am going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. We have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning. Sir, I also want to let you know and recognize that you do have some supporters here today. Mr. Raymond
Tagg.
Okay, Mr. Raymond Tagg and Ms. Blanca Osuna. Okay, that you do have some supporters here today for you, sir. I am going to go over some information with you. As I go over that information, sir, if there's something that you think is incorrect, feel free to correct me on that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Taylor, you're appearing before this board for an absolute discharge, home arrest, a regular parole. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes.
You are currently serving two concurrent life sentences, one for aggravated assault, the other one for kidnapping. You began these sentences back in April 23rd of 1990. You became parole eligible on August 21st of 2015. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. You are currently, what, 64 years old?
Yes, sir.
You committed these offenses when you were, what, about 35?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You do have a release, an institutional progress report with a release plan on here. Says that if you were released, that you plan to work with your friend, Craven Tagg, at 6850 East Golf Link Road in Tucson. You do have his phone number on here. You have been taking some classes that, since you've been incarcerated. Did you take the sex offense classes since you've been there, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. So it looks like also, sir, that you did receive a recent citation back in June of 18 for false reporting. What was that about, sir?
Guy on my run, I was bringing his trays to him because he was sick, and they took him to the doctor, and I took bring the trays and took them in his house, and they took wound up taking him to the hospital. So they said that I wasn't supposed to be doing it that way, and they woke me up for it.
Okay. You have received several citations and tickets since you've been incarcerated, but it looks like the last ticket that you were found in violation of department infraction was back in December of 2012. You did have a ticket that you received in 2015 and 14, but both of those were dismissed. One was for possession and manufacturing, and the other one was violating the department rules. So, the thing, do you recall what happened back in 2012, sir?
Yes, I was in Bill 13, it was a bunk, and we had no cellies at the time. They started filling them up. My cellie started making hooch, and we got busted. He copped to it, and they dismissed it.
Okay.
And what was the other one again?
Well, you had one that was dismissed. One was possession and manufacturing, the other one was for a violation of department infraction, it looks like.
I think that was when SSU was searching and found the DVD with no number on at my house, and they wrote me up for it.
Okay. So you have appeared before this board before. You were here before this board in 1995, and it was not recommended to the governor. You were here in 2015 and 16, and then in 2017, for parole, home arrest, and also February 2018, during this time, each of those times you were denied. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I see that you have taken some program. Looks like the most recent program that I see that you may have taken was in 2016, and that was for domestic violence. But you have taken classes for conflict resolution, cognitive thinking. You've taken the SMART class, substance abuse, along with some other classes that you've taken since you've been incarcerated. Have you taken any recent classes, sir?
No, sir.
Is there a reason why?
They keep changing the classes around here, and they'll get them started. Here's a prime example. Construction tech. Nobody has been taking that. They've closed it down twice, and he just now passed it, and it's taken three times what it was supposed to take him to take the class.
Okay. So, Mr. Kaler, this is an incident that you came incarcerated for. It occurred back in April 23rd of 1990. When a female employee was leaving their job and she was out in the parking lot, she said that it was about 5 a.m. in the morning. You came up to her, pushed her violently back into her car. She started screaming. You then had a zip tie that you used to secure her wrist, a cable tie you used to secure her wrist. She was struggling with you, and somehow she was able to get one hand through of the cable tie, and she was able to open the passenger door and get out the vehicle. But says that you attacked her and you grabbed her by her and dragged her back inside the car, and you put a knife to her throat and asked her if she wanted to die. She says that you asked her for her car keys and that you were fumbling her body, but she couldn't tell if you were searching for the car keys or just sexually fumbling her. She then saw some people coming out, some other employees, and she was struggling with you, and she would manage once again to get the car door open, and she brought out, finally freed herself and fled screaming, and some of the people who were coming out began to chase you, and you were subsequently run down and apprehended by the Colorado Bell security officers. It says that earlier that morning there was a female who was pulled into the parking lot and saw you, and she saw that you were suspicious, so she was apprehensive about getting out of the car, so she just remained in her vehicle until other co-workers arrived. However, on the day previous to that, there was an incident where a gentleman matching your description had exposed himself, and they later identified that person as being you. Says that when the police, the security officers did finally arrest you, that you tried to give them a false name, and then you finally told them who you were. But you had just been released from prison about a week before this incident actually occurred. You were up there staying with some family. It looks like while you were staying with your family up there that you used their vehicle, and when they checked the vehicle, they found in the parking lot that they found more cable ties, petroleum jelly, and sexually explicit pornography material that was also in the car. But it also says that when you were arrested, that on your person you had additional cable ties, petroleum jellies, and a cut nylon stocking that was suitable for making a mask was located on your person. So what were you doing up there during that period of time, sir?
Okay. I was at the Loser's Lounge drinking and visiting my mom at the restaurant. And I went to the other side of the river to go home. And as for the last two charges you brought up, I've never even heard of those. And I heard that somebody was found in the parking lot, but I've never been convicted of that. I've never seen anybody that was involved in that.
No, I didn't say you were convicted of it, so I said that you had matched the description and they determined that it was you. I didn't say that. They didn't charge you with that, though.
Okay.
So what was going on when you pushed the lady back in the car and you were asking her for a car key? What was going on with you at that time, sir?
Looking for the keys.
So why were you trying to take her keys and push her into the car?
I was drunk, I don't remember, but...
So what is the cable ties, the petroleum jelly, and the stocking for? The cut stocking, what are you going to use that for?
They were in my dad's jacket pocket. That's, he had brought that up in the folder, or the courtyard.
Okay, so how, what do you have on some clothes? Because they found it in the car, and they found it on you, so...
It was just my dad's car.
Okay, but what about what they found on you?
They, you know, like I said, it was my dad's jacket. I had my dad's jacket on.
Okay, so what was your intentions then, sir?
Take the car.
So why would you just take the car keys from the lady instead of forcing her inside the car?
She didn't have them.
Well, why
didn't
did
have them.
Why did you put the cable ties on her? Why did you tie her hands?
Just trying to get the car keys.
Okay, sir, so you, why were you trying to take the car? What, didn't you have your parents' car in the driveway? I mean, in the parking lot?
No, I didn't have my parents' car. My sister had my parents' car.
So how did you get there, sir?
My sister took me.
Okay, and so...
That was also testified in court.
All right. So you had just... Why were you trying to take the car? You had just been released from prison.
I really don't know. Like I said, I had been drinking.
So what were you going to do with the car once you would have gotten the car, sir?
Drive it, I guess. Like I said, I don't remember how I got from one side of the river to the other side of the river. I don't even remember getting over there. All I know is I was there.
Okay.
I've been drinking screwdrivers and beers.
Okay, so I see that you do have kind of an extensive criminal record, which also includes theft of vehicle, burglary. Looks like you had a kidnapping, an assault with a deadly weapon, and false imprisonment and escape, which is why it looks like you were convicted and sent to prison. Is that right?
Way back when I first did my first prison term, yes.
Okay, that was in 1977.
Yes. But that was my car I had.
Okay, it looks like in the 1980 that you were convicted of a robbery with a deadly weapon and you got 8.75 years in prison. In 80.
Yes.
And they violated your parole for robbery with a deadly weapon and attempt to escape during that time. When you had the kidnapping, what was that all about when you had the assault and the kidnapping?
People were traveling from one state to the other with me, and we had a disagreement.
So, Mr. Kaler, what's your past criminal history and the situation that you committed a crime while you were still just recently, freshly, within a week, released from prison. What has changed about you, sir? I'm trying to understand what has changed about you. What would make the difference? Why should this board have a decision to put you back out on parole, sir?
I am tired of dealing with people in here. I am not the same person I was then. You know, it's been 28 years, and I've tried to better myself. I've taken college classes so that I'd have something extra to go with me when I got out. I've taken construction technology. I've taken graphic arts. I've taken custodial services, advanced custodial services, beginning business, beginning computers. I've been trying to take college classes that would benefit me when I do get out so I can try to survive out there. Like I've said, every time I come to the parole board, I want to volunteer at Salvation Army and help out there to help me get adjusted to people and return back to the society. And I'm not the same person. I'm sick of this place. I want to see my grandkids. I've never seen my grandkids. I don't get visits. My parents were too old, and my sister did drugs and messed up her mind. Nobody knows where she's at. Every morning I'll get a letter from my daughter and my ex-wife. But I don't want nothing to do with that because my ex-wife's into drugs.
So you said,
better myself.
So, Mr. Kaler, you said that you were so intoxicated that you don't remember why you was trying to take the car. Why you put a knife to the lady's throat and asked her if she wanted to die?
Yeah, I used to steal cars a lot when I was a kid.
So I'm really trying to understand why, you know, you would participate in that crime when you had just got out of prison. And I'm not clearly understanding, but I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Mr. Pinanos.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Kaler?
Yes.
Just a couple of follow-up questions. It looks like that you served in the Army for a while.
Yes, sir.
What happened with your Army career?
I got an honorable discharge, unable to adapt. I was a teenager, just turned 18.
Had you already been through basic training, or were you in... Where were you at?
In basic training.
Oh, in basic training. Was that in Fort Worth?
Yes.
Here's my question, and I know we're really banging the drum here, but you have a pretty lengthy criminal history. And by the time we arrive at this offense, it looks like you were about 35 years old, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
So, you were still fairly young, but pushing middle age. What caused you to turn after this much involved in the criminal justice system after this particular offense? Because everything seemed to be leading up to more violent offenses. And I recognize how you're describing this crime, but the way we take it at face value, based on your conviction, it was a pretty violent crime. So, what exactly did you start changing inside the Department of Corrections to this more evolved person that you are now?
Before I came to this prison here, this 2000, pretty much, I started doing different things. I've been disciplinary, no major disciplinaries in over 12 years. You know, I've been trying to better myself. I don't have contact on the streets up until my buddy found out I was still sitting in here and hadn't made my board. And we've been corresponding and things. And I just want a chance. That's all I'm asking for. You can violate me if I don't follow the rules. I'll take psych programs, whatever. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of watching people get beat up for stupid shit. I'm tired of seeing people sticking needles in their arms. I just want a chance to see my grandkids and my kids. I've never seen my grandkids. I got six grandkids and I haven't seen one of them. And I don't get much from pictures because nobody writes. It's computer age now. I'm just asking for a chance. If you want me to take programs, that's, I'm all for it.
Well, Mr. Kaler, before I stop asking questions, I just want to point out we certainly do consider chances as the Board of Executive Clemency, but you have been on probation and parole in the past. You haven't given chances in the past. So we have some hard decisions to make today, sir. Thank you.
I understand that, but I have other people to help me along this time. I haven't in the past. I've just pretty much been on my own, except for my mom and dad, which was there, you know, for support and money and things, but that didn't mean as much to him. I was a stupid kid.
Well, thank you, Mr. Taylor. No further questions, Mr. Johnson?
All right, I'll send out a question. I'm going to go to your supporters that are here. Are both of you going to speak, or just you, Mr. Taylor?
Take it.
Okay, you just come up to the microphone, sir. State your full name, and then go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
My name is Raymond Tagg. It's T-A-G-U-E. I always have to spell. But, so, there's just, like, three quick things I want to bring up, because I know you guys have been here all day. I've been here for a while. But number one is, you know, sentencing versus the actual crime. Yes, it was a violent crime. I'm not trying to take nothing away from the victims, saying that they weren't victimized, but they weren't injured. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a homicide detective for 21 years. There was no homicide. There was nobody got hurt. I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, but again, I'm not trying to take away from the victim. I'm just trying to say nobody was seriously injured, and he's done almost 30 years for this crime. It'll be 29 years next month. And then second thing is disciplinary. I mean, yes, you can see his past. He's got a lot of convictions, a lot of stuff from his younger days all the way up until even a little bit after he got locked up for this particular crime. I mean, you can see you guys have better records on this disciplinary than I do. But you can see in the past 10 years, he's got two verbal reprimands. That's it in 10 years. So, I mean, even if he was a troublemaker when he was younger, you can see that that's gone away. He's not the troublemaker he was before. And then support, you know, so that's the last thing. Support is that he's got not so much family. Like you said, his family disappeared a long time ago. He's been in for almost 30 years. His family, his father and mother both died. He doesn't see his ex-wife, his kids, or anybody like that. I actually met him in prison. I spent 7 years in. I got out and I got my life straight. Now I have all of my rights restored. I have my own company. I do truck driving. It's tag team trucking. And that's why I told him I could get him on as dispatch, because I've gotten to the point where I'm doing decent. She's also my co-driver. So we do team driving. That's why it's called tag team. But we do team truck driving all the way across the country. And we need a dispatcher, you know, so that's a simple job where he could be on house arrest with the ankle monitor. He doesn't need to go anywhere, sit on the computer and find me loads going across country. It's a really simple process. But, you know, so I got a place for him. I've already spoken with my apartment managers, and they're okay with him staying in my apartment. I actually just upgraded to get a bigger apartment. But, you know, so that he's allowed to stay there on house arrest or parole or whatever kind of supervision you guys deem necessary. But, you know, like he's saying, it's been 29 years for some, and yes, I agree, his past is very bad, but that was the past. And that's why I'm saying, like he said, we just want to try to get a chance for him to get out. Now, the support network we have now, I mean, there's me, my family. I don't have a huge family. We're only talking like 10, 15 people. But then friends and neighbors and stuff like that. But once he's out, then the support networks that he's able to get with the AA and NA classes, there's a lot more stuff. You guys deal with it a lot more than I would even consider. But you guys know, like, a lot of people don't want to give support to somebody in prison. They want you to get out, and then you can be part of their meetings and part of their, you know, community or whatever. So, and, yeah, I personally will watch over them and make sure there's no types of alcohol, drugs that's going to make some stupid decisions. You know, it took me a long time. I've been out of prison 8 years. It took me a long time to get it to where I was legally allowed to have a job, you know. I was a violent crime, and people will hire child molesters before they'll hire somebody who they think will hurt them. And it's like, I made one mistake when I was young. Now I'm doing a lot better with my life, and I'm just, you know, hoping that you guys give him a chance to, you know, come out here and do something with his life. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Tagg, thank you. That, you know, I want to commend you on being able to get out, get yourself together, start a business, and be a productive citizen and be successful, getting the rights restored.
Yeah, I mean, I got my own EIN. I have them on paying the Social Security, the unemployment taxes, the Medicare, all that. I have that taken care of. If he gets out, we'll have a legit removal in no time.
Okay. Board have any questions? Mr. Kenyon?
I just want to say, as I stated, you have to make some hard decisions today, but you gave a very fine statement. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Tapp.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Taylor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. So I just have one more question. That you were on parole when you committed this crime and you had gotten out. And is this still your contention that you have no idea why you was trying to take the car or why you put the knife to the lady's throat, sir?
Well, I didn't have a car, didn't store anything I could pick up. That was the night to the throat. Stupidity. You know, I'm sorry that I scared her. I'd do whatever I could to make up for it, but sitting in here, there's only so much we can do. Most of their classes and things, they close them down as fast as they get them.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so you can hear the discussion actually taking place. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, we will make a determination as to either grant or deny you parole, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board's now going into the discussion. This is a case I just kind of brought in. I think he does have some support here with Mr. Tagg, who has given information before us that he will be willing to work and assist him. However, as you know, the Department of Correction has to make a determination where a person actually stays. But I'm telling you that I'm just baffled that Mr. Taylor has had the opportunity to get out. He's escaped. He was a week out before he committed this crime, where he was in Folsom Prison. He'd been in prison two other times prior to this, and just seems to commit this crime. And what really bothers me is about, I just don't hear a reasonable explanation for why he would be pushing someone in the car, putting a knife to their throat, and attempting to rob them, nor is there any explanation to well, the only explanation that he has as far as the stopping the tie that was in the car, as well as the cable tie that he had on his person, as well as the other items that he had in the car, and some sexually explicit material that was also inside of the car at the time. I just don't see that it's in the best interest at this time to release Mr. Caleb back out on parole. That's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Okay, therefore, I am going to move to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest to Mr. Taylor at this time. I am also going to ask for a one-year set-off.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Kenyanas. Agree, Mr. Neal and Dr. Reich.
Agree.
Okay. The reasons for denial is going to be that it was a serious and deviant offense. There was trauma to the victim. It violated previous probation or parole. He did have a history of assaultive behavior as well as substance abuse. He had a prior criminal history. What mark of key offender since he was just out of prison when this happened? I know, Mark, he did have the one recent disciplinary infraction. I'm not going to mark for or no release plan and no family community support since he did have some type of release plan. I am going to mark poor release plan. He did have a plan to go stay with his friend, but he didn't have much more to actually go that. But he did have family support and community support as Mr. Tagg was here and provided information to the board. So, Mr. Kaler?
Yes.
So, the board is voting to deny the regular parole or home arrest absolute discharge at this time. We have asked for a 1-year set-off, which means that within about a year, the Department of Correction would deem you eligible to come back before this board. Did you hear your reasons for denial, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, can I get a copy of those?
If you work with your CO3, sir, I'm sure that you can get a copy of this, okay?
Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Kaler, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Could you put the CO3 back on the phone, sir?
All right.
Mr. Tagg, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for coming down here and appearing before this board, sir. I do know that you've been here all day, so thank you for taking that time to come down and appear.
Yes, sir. Now, do you have another one for